And welcome back to the SEC on CBS podcast here on CBS Sports. I am your host, Chip Patterson. Tom Fornelli back on the show today. We are taking a look at the teams chasing Alabama. That's right. As the Crimson Tide get rolling with spring practice this week, we are taking a look both at the Tide, the quarterback position, the new offensive coordinator, and also the teams around the SEC West, hopefully trying to challenge for their spot at the top, including LSU, Auburn, Mississippi State, Arkansas, and why we don't think Ole Miss is in the mix there. Make sure that you subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher, and enjoy another edition of Tom Fornelli on the SEC on CBS podcast. Back here on the SEC on CBS podcast, humming along at a brisk 121 beats per minute. Oh, yeah. All right, Tom. We're going to be breaking down the SEC West. Are you ready?
I am ready, but I don't know if I could really keep the beat. I'm not a musician like you. I might have trouble.
Okay. The reason why we have the time going is because the time that the college football teams are going to be in spring practice, even though it is sitting here March 23rd as we're recording, it's shrinking. One of the last teams to get into action are the Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, we are going to start to see SEC spring games around the first weekend of April, and pretty much every weekend in April we're going to have an SEC spring game, Alabama being one of the last teams to come. They wait until after spring break, and they came out firings. No surprise, as the SEC's defending champions do tend to grab headlines. But, Tom, Nick Saban, he's talking about grabbing some you-know-what, throwing it against the wall, and seeing if it sticks. Now, as Nick Saban is coming out firing with another one of his Kanye rants, what to you are some of the first things on your mind when it comes to like what actually matters about Alabama's spring practice?
That everybody survives.
Yeah. Healthy.
Nobody dies. Yeah. It's the same thing as any spring practice, Alabama, anybody. All I care about as a fan for anything is people getting through healthy. Cause you know, you can talk about the fact that now they've got, you know, the new OC, and now that Lane Kiffin is gone and Steve Sarkisian was offensive coordinator for a couple weeks, and now it's Brian Daboll from the Patriots. You talk about, quote-unquote, breaking him in for spring practice, but, I mean, honestly, how much offense are you actually installing in the spring?
No, I mean, especially for Brian Daboll, who I assume is just picking up a playbook that has already been prepared for him for the most part.
Yeah. Also, he's getting to know his new players more than any. It's not like Alabama's going to be doing anything in the spring, or anybody's going to be doing anything in the spring where it's like, that's what they're going to use in the season opener against Florida State. These are the plays. We got to get them down now. I mean, you're basically staying in shape and keeping the mind sharp, getting to know what you have and getting ready. And so as far as that's concerned, you know, I think it's interesting and I think it's important. It's just, it's not nearly as important as some would want you to believe, simply because, you know, it's spring and it's a very slow time of year in our industry. And we need things to talk about.
So you're saying Nick Saban wasn't totally wrong?
No. Nick Saban is never wrong, Chip. Nick Saban is always right. Everybody else is always wrong. Roll Tide, go Saban.
Well, because the question about the offense is what led Nick Saban to come out and get all fiery, talking about getting some stuff that sticks to the wall. And I think that while Nick Saban is going to downplay, and I agree with you, there's not much that we can learn, I do think that the development of Jalen Hurts is a huge factor in what this Alabama team looks like going into 2017. And if you are the new offensive coordinator, then you are at the top of that org chart when it comes to the offense. And this becomes something that is there are going to be questions about. There's going to be discussions about, because Jalen Hurts, the SEC's Offensive Player of the Year a year ago, has a lot of room for improvement. And at times, the inability to move the ball down the field through the air was a little bit alarming, particularly when you are used to seeing a very few flaws in the Alabama offense.
Yeah, and you know, he is the SEC reigning offensive player of the year, but also you could argue that there's not just pressure on him to improve, but there's pressure on him for the job.
Yeah, Tua Tagovailoa is there.
Yeah, is that how you say it? Because I was terrified of saying his name. I know it's Tua, but I couldn't tell if it was Tagovailoa or Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know. I apologize to him for butchering his name.
Until that is what I've been able to pick up, gleaning from other people's pronunciations of it.
I'm just waiting for Brad Nessler to say it, and then I'll know.
The champ, Brad Nessler.
Once he's on SEC on CBS and he's got Nessler saying his name and then Danielson saying his name, that's the official way. Even if they pronounce it wrong, that has to be how he pronounces his name for the rest of his life.
Hey, however it's pronounced on the SEC on CBS on TV is how it's going to be pronounced on the SEC on CBS podcast. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Little known fact, Tim Tebow's name, actually Tim Tebow.
Oh, that is a very little known fact.
Yeah. But no, going back to Tagovailoa. I'm going to roll with it for now. I mean, I really don't think there's a chance he's going to take Hurts' job from him this spring. Again, there's none of that stuff's really on the line. You're going to go in the summer where Hurts is still going to be your starter. And when the season starts, he's still going to be your starter. But with Tagovailoa's presence, Hurts did really well last year. But like you said, there are a lot of parts of his game that need work. So you go into the season, there'll be pressure on him to perform simply because Alabama has other really good options, potential options available there. I think as far as the spring is concerned, besides the new coordinator, the one thing that you're more interested than anything is the defense, just because, you know, like any year, Alabama's got a ton of guys they have to replace, but they also have plenty of guys that are ready to just step in and do it. So for me, it's more of a getting acquainted with the names I'm going to need to know. It's like I don't have any doubts that, you know, the new guys are going to be good. Like Deshaun Hand, I already know he's great. He was like the top recruit in his class, 5-star, but that's the case at Alabama. You come in as a 5-star number one recruit, and you pretty much got to sit on the bench most of your first 2 years just because of the guys ahead of you. We know he's going to be great, but it's just the other guys that I want to see that take on bigger roles, guys like, you know, Christian Miller or somebody, just want to get to know them a little better because they are going to be the names that we're discussing so much throughout the season when it comes to Alabama.
Yeah, it was like Jaron Reed, then became Jonathan Allen, which will now become Deshaun Hand.
Yeah. Just the Deshaun Hand will become somebody else, and then that guy will be, and it's just, you know, sun goes up, sun goes down.
Do you think that there's any I believe that we will see, even with Jalen Hurts being the reigning SEC Offensive Player of the Year and with Jalen Hurts being the reigning or the incumbent starting quarterback, I still don't see, because of the talent that Tua Tagovailoa brings to the position, I still see Nick Saban doing his Saban thing and trotting out at least one quarterback for that season opener, even though that season opener is against Florida State, another college football playoff contender and potential national title contender, just because that's his style. Like, we haven't gotten a chance to really see what Alabama looks like with an incumbent starting quarterback for a while.
Well, I think it'll also depend on the health of Bo Scarborough and then just the general confidence in the running backs and offensive line. Because I think that Saban just goes in, even if they're, like you said, even if they're playing against Florida State, I feel like if he's confident in his offensive line and his running game, he might throw a freshman quarterback back there just simply because he believes his team can overcome any mistakes that they might make. But I still think that opening the year was such a big game, the odds are very much in favor of Jalen Hurts being your starting quarterback.
Okay. And to your point, as before we begin to pivot, Jalen Hurts did not start, but was brought into the game against USC in the season opener. He fumbled his first snap, and I think that Alabama still won 52-6. So, yeah, as long as there's confidence in everything else, then Nick Saban's willing to take a few fumbled snaps to be able to see how everyone looks out there.
Also, I think that Saban had a lot more confidence in his team beating the hell out of USC than he will Florida State.
I agree there. Which brings us to a next great point. So it's been a while since the not Alabama division of the SEC West has looked great, because you had Auburn's run in 2013, the miraculous run in 2013, where if the kick six breaks a little bit differently, or if the prayer at Jordan Hare ends up being batted in a different direction, well, then maybe Auburn doesn't make it to that national championship game. For the most part, since what, 2011? There's the 13 year. I mean, obviously, if they win it, but even in 11, they go on to win the national championship. Every year that continues, the distance between Alabama and the rest of the SEC West continues to grow. There is a lot of attention on Auburn right now. There is Ed Orgeron, fully installed new offensive coordinator at LSU. And you've got an Ole Miss program that is sliding way back. So before we get to Auburn and LSU, who I would say are your two most likely threats to Alabama in the SEC West, who do you think has an opportunity from the rest of the division to take a step forward, where Ole Miss, we are expecting, even with Shea Patterson, they have got a postseason ban, and they've just got a ton missing. I think that they take a big step back. Who takes a step forward?
Aside from Auburn and LSU?
Well, because everyone plays everyone. Like, if the math says that one team wins less division games, another team is going to win more.
I don't know. Honestly, it's such a muddled situation where everybody has their own question marks. I mean, Texas A&M is still Texas A&M. But they lose a lot of key players. They lose, they have their new quarterback. They have to replace Myles Garrett. And also, it's a team that, no matter how much talent it's had the last 2 years, always seems to run into trouble in that division. Arkansas has plenty of questions of its own going into next year as far as people it has to replace. And its defense last year was, not good, especially against the run. I don't know how they can really balance back, even if Ole Miss goes backwards. And then, honestly, I feel like Mississippi State is probably my best option to improve, simply because they have more room to improve than those other two teams. But also just because I feel like they are the one of the few teams in the West that's heading into 2017 with the quarterback situation settled.
And that's the biggest reason to buy into Mississippi State, because you've got better talent at Texas A&M, but there is a sense of consistency that even rides through the fact that last year, post-Dak, and not just Dak, but a couple of really good recruiting classes all in a row, even in the recruiting level, Mississippi State, in the recruiting rankings, sort of took a step back just a little bit over the last couple of cycles, and yet that team was very competitive. And I think that speaks to the consistency that Dan Mullen's been able to install in Starkville, where he's got the Bulldogs in a place where they're kind of a plucky underdog.
Yeah. And I mean, Nick Fitzgerald, for what he is as a player, Dan Mullen knows how to use him perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have a great arm. He runs, but he's not fast.
But you know what I mean? He'll RPO you to death.
Yeah. But just Mullen knows how to use him, because he uses him essentially the same way he used Tebow. So it's something he's been in. That was why what made Dak special was, yes, Mullen could use him in the same way. It's just Dak was a better passer and Dak was a better runner, as far as above average goes. So you put him in that system and he was amazing. But Fitzgerald still fits what they want to do. So really the question becomes, if Mississippi State can have any kind of defense, just a respectable defense, they're going to win games in the SEC West with Nick Fitzgerald, simply because the offense will likely be able to put up points.
Today's SEC on CBS podcast brought to you by Blue Apron. You can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/SEC. Remember, Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. They've got the freshest ingredients thanks to their partnership with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers from across the United States. And upcoming menus include salmon piccata with orzo and broccoli, pork chop with miso butter with bok choy and marinated apples, and of course spicy shrimp coconut curry with cabbage and rice. You can see what this week's menu is and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/SEC. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/SEC. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
All right, so we are down. All right, what about Arkansas?
I you got the quarterback situation. That offensive line last year was good, wasn't great, and that defense it was horrible last year against the run.
Yeah,
and it was strange to see like a Brett Bielema team being that problematic stopping the run. You would think that when you face that offense all day, every day in practice, you should be able to stop a running attack, but they could not do it. So unless that improves, unless they take a big step forward to improve that, I just don't really see how Arkansas could be that much better than they were last year. It's not to say they're going to take the step back. It's just I don't see much room for an improvement without a vast improvement defensively.
I think Arkansas is going to win 8 or 9 games next year, and I think it's
really
gonna, yeah. And I think that it's going to be like wild, one incredible win that just gets everybody high, and then just a totally befuddling loss or two. Like, it won't compete for the SEC championship or the SEC West because of. Let's see what they got on the schedule next year.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking up right now.
Is Kentucky on there? Because that seems about right.
Like, no, they open with Florida A&M at a neutral location.
Okay, so
why the hell are they playing Florida A&M? Is that maybe just the game in Little Rock? It doesn't say, but it says it's a neutral location. TCU in Fayetteville, A&M at a neutral location, New Mexico State at home. Then they open SEC play with two straight road games at South Carolina, at Alabama, come home to face Auburn, then go on the road for Ole Miss. And here's the thing. There is nary a bye in that four-week stretch.
No, the loss is going to come at Ole Miss. They're going to lose to Alabama, but then they're going to beat Auburn, and then they're going to lose to Ole Miss, and it'll be an Ole Miss team that at that point in the season everyone had given up on. And you know what this is? I already can tell you that – this is extrapolating my experience of watching Arkansas in person at the Belk Bowl.
You know, here's what happened.
When they went up 24-0 and then got blanked in the second half.
Yeah, that's not a good way to play, by the way.
It was everything glorious about that team, and then every reason why you should doubt them. Because, like, Devwa Whaley is a freshman. Like, that guy is a really, really good player. And Raleigh Williams is going to be a junior, and he was a 1,300-yard rusher last year. Like, they are going to have the old Jonathan Williams, Alex Collins ability in that backfield. And I think that they're just going to have, like, these games where they just come out and blast teams, and then there's going to be about 2 to 3 games where you're going to be like, WTF. Like, WYD, Arkansas? What is – or, like, the – wasn't it the Florida game that was kind of like – oh, no, they blasted Florida, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it, which didn't make sense either at the time.
I'm on the record as saying I expect a 7-5 season from Arkansas. I'm putting that on the record. But if we're going with your 9-win scenario where something stupid happens,
yeah,
I'm going to say the stupid thing is the very last week of the season losing to Mizzou at home.
Which didn't they do this past year?
They lost to him on the road, but yeah. So I'm going to say, like, Arkansas at that point is in the running for like a New Year's Six Bowl. In your scenario, again, I'm predicting 7-5. But in your scenario, they are in the running for a New Year's Six Bowl, and then they lose that final weekend of the regular season to Mizzou and end up going to like the Texas Bowl again or something.
Yeah. Okay. That makes perfect sense. All right. Let's turn our focus to the two teams that are, in my opinion, a much more reasonable threat to Alabama. First, Auburn. the Tigers have a new offensive coordinator, and after much harumphing about Gus Malzahn and his management of quarterbacks, like, where's Jerry right now? Like, longtime listeners of this podcast know that Jerry Hinnen could talk. We're at the 18-minute mark on my account right now. Jerry could talk us through the rest of the show.
Talking
just on
about Auburn.
Just yeah. on Gus and no, just on Gus and the quarterbacks. And he actually wrote something on it, I think, for the War Eagle Reader. But as we've got Jarrett Stidham, we've got Sean White, we've got Chip Lindsey in as the offensive coordinator after a short stint, the first time OC at Arizona State last year. All that we can know about Chip Lindsey is that he is in the same school of the Gus Malzahn way, and that Gus has claimed that Chip Lindsey has full control, which after some grumblings behind the scene that the play calling duties were passed back and forth and hands on, hands off, this, that, or the other, this appears to be a new era for Auburn. And I think that changes immediately if things are rocky to start.
Yeah, I agree. If things are rocky to start, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Gus is all of a sudden calling the plays. Here's the thing. When Auburn has had a quarterback under Malzahn, no matter who the OC was or who's calling the plays, they've been good. You know, whether it was Cam Newton or whether it was even Nick Marshall, who was not a quarterback that you would ever consider to be a great quarterback, but fit really well into what Auburn wanted to do, and Auburn also used him correctly.
Also was not a quarterback.
No.
To start.
No, it's not. And I feel like if Jarrett Stidham comes in, you know, the big transfer from Baylor, if he comes in and gives them anything at quarterback, especially particularly in the SEC, where it's not like we're talking about a conference that is laden with top-notch quarterbacks right now.
Right.
So if Stidham comes in and just plays well, he doesn't even have to be great. He just has to be good and in the SEC, grading on a curve that could be great. That gives Auburn a very big edge over a lot of other teams in the West because, simply put, there really aren't a lot of great offenses in that division. There are teams that put up points, but as far as explosive offenses that you're scared of, there's really nobody you look around at besides Alabama and say, ooh, that team really scares me. Auburn could be that team if Stidham plays well, but the thing is, Auburn's – we were looking at Arkansas schedule a minute ago, so I just flipped over to Auburn's schedule. Have you seen this?
I mean,
it's kind of a bitch.
Well, I think that Auburn can win at Clemson.
Deshaun Watson's gone. I have no idea what to make of Clemson.
I don't want to start speaking this now because it's a long time until the season starts, and I don't want to be on this train like come July or August. But like,
we're gonna have Clemson fans really mad at us by the time the season starts.
I was there. You know, like I was there for Clemson Louisville. I was there at the national championship game. I was on it. I was writing about Clemson. I was feeling it. Like, I love the ACC. Like, that is my thing. Those are my people. You know, much love to Joe Galbraith and the whole staff there. They're so nice. They're so accommodating. And man, I just don't think you get – I don't think you march all the way up there without tripping a little bit on the other side of the mountain.
Yeah, especially with everything they lose.
Yeah, I just and it's one of those things where I don't know where that's going to come or how that's going to end up playing out, but sustained dominance is so, so hard, particularly when it's not like your normal, you know, humming rhythm. And so we'll get way more into that. Let's turn back to Auburn's schedule. Auburn has, of course, as we know, the cross division matchup against Georgia, but Georgia's at home. They also have Alabama, which is at home. But before that, like you mentioned earlier, you go at Clemson. In division, you've got to go to LSU and to Arkansas in back-to-back weeks.
And then you come off a bye on the road against Texas A&M. So you're playing LSU, Arkansas, and A&M in consecutive games with the one bye between them. All three are on the road.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough. So I do think Auburn probably has the best chance of any team not named Alabama in that division to be good.
Just based on like resting talent level, because offensively, Auburn, when it runs into an opponent that can sort of mess with its tempo, then they can, like, that ugly, ugly hot seat bowl game against LSU that Auburn won. Like, that was a bad Auburn performance. It was good that they won the game, obviously, but, like, that was a good example of, like, when Auburn plays Ole Miss at home, because Ole Miss likes to run at Auburn's tempo, I think Auburn will like it. I think Auburn will blow them out. I think that they probably have the same advantage against Mississippi State, but, like, when they go into that LSU and those Arkansas games, those are two teams that could really play keep away. And that's, I think, one of the biggest weaknesses that Auburn faces going into the year, because I'm with you, there aren't many teams that are going to be able to outscore Auburn in a shootout. But if that offense doesn't get the ball enough to catch its tempo, shout out DJ Mustard, then I don't know if they're going to be able to, you know, go through 11-1.
No, I don't think they're going 11-1. I just think that of all the other teams that aren't Alabama, they have, on a talent wise, and again, if Stidham comes in and plays like he did at Baylor, they've probably got the best quarterback in the division, which is going to give you a big advantage over everybody else in the SEC. I'm not super optimistic. I'm thinking 8-4, 9-3, probably your ceiling, though.
Wow. So you've got Alabama. So let's just go just on like conference records. You're thinking Alabama's 8-0 again?
I don't know if I'm going to go 8-0, but yeah, I'd say 7-1, 8-0 type range, just because I wouldn't be shocked at all if they trip up against somebody along the way. It's just who?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You look at the rest of these teams, and it's like if we could project a little bit as to what we're going to see next year, but mostly all the information we have is what we saw last year. And Who among those teams you saw last year do you honestly think is going to finish ahead of Alabama in that standings?
Mm-mm.
That has like a realistic shot. Not say, well, if it happens, it'll be this team. I mean, who actually has a realistic chance of winning that division?
It's Auburn, and it's Auburn that has already had one conference loss going up. Like, it is going into the Iron Bowl. Auburn is 6-1. Alabama is 7-0. Auburn wins the game to be 7-1 and hold the tiebreaker and go to the SEC championship game.
But I just don't see Auburn being 6-1 going into that game. Not with consecutive road games against LSU, Arkansas, and Texas A&M. They're going to lose at least one of those, which means they'd have to be perfect in every other way.
All right, so let's go to LSU real quick. So I don't have a whole lot of. I need to be shown that LSU is going to do something that makes me think they can be 7-1. It's been too long. You know,
yeah.
It's been 6 years since, like, a whole cycles of classes have come and gone. And it's been a while since we've seen LSU be truly dominant in the SEC West. And until proven otherwise, I'm going to assume that there are two losses on that schedule, at least one to Alabama and one to shrug shoulders, who knows how it happens.
Well, that's the thing, too. You know, it's not only does LSU get Alabama on the road this year, but their cross-divisional draw brings them both Florida and Tennessee on the road. So you're going to the East playing two of the better teams from the other division, both on the road. You're getting the best team in your division on the road, and you have to play the rest of your division. So, I mean, Darius Geis, I think, will make sure that that offense, no matter what, is able to run correctly, because as we saw last year when he came out in place of Leonard Fournette, he's pretty damn good himself. I think it's just really going to depend on Matt Canada and that offense. I mean, I feel like they've definitely got, you know, we are both big fans of Matt Canada.
Yes.
We loved what he did at Pitt. We hope to see some LSU offensive linemen scoring touchdowns this year. But it's a question of not just how quickly he can get that offense implemented, but with the personnel, because, you know, we know LSU is going to have a new quarterback. So it might be a little bumpy at first, which is kind of scary because.
Wait, are you sure? Is it not going to be Danny Etling?
Or, yeah, I'm sorry. It'll be Danny Etling.
Yeah, sorry.
I was thinking because Brandon Harris is gone, but I forgot Etling is still there.
No. And the fact that Etling is still there is what's keeping me from jumping on board. And I really, really like Matt Canada. And I think that over the next 3 years, we'll see that offense drastically change. And I think an investment there was thinking that what he's been able to prove with running backs and with being able to put skill in space, he's able to really take advantage. I mean, nobody knew Quadri Henderson's name, going into his time at Pittsburgh, but he became one of the most dynamic threats in the ACC. And I think that there's going to be a couple players for LSU just based on LSU's collective talent pool, which is better than most teams in the country. There's going to be a couple more of those like, oh, that guy's really good, just because Matt Canada does such a good job identifying talent and putting them in a position to succeed. But man, if as long as Danny Etling's under center, I've got a hard time jumping on board.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It's Etling won that job last year, but Etling was also available after, not really winning the job at Purdue in a competition with other quarterbacks who we could say were not good. He transfers, ends up at LSU, but at LSU he's still, hey, you know what? He's better than what we have, which wasn't good as well. So I don't have much confidence in Etling, but the one thing is with Canada, he has had so much success with running backs, both at Pitt, at Wisconsin, at Northern Illinois. He's had so much success with his backs and the running attack that what's going to be key for LSU is, as long as its defense is still its defense and it has Darius Geis and those guys stay healthy and he finds a guy who can run the jet sweep, because we know he loves that play, this is a team that I think will, even with Etling, will be able to score enough points to win a lot of games. It's just with Etling, I have no faith in, LSU's ability to beat Florida on the road, to beat Tennessee on the road, to beat Alabama on the road, to beat Auburn, to beat, to maybe even tough a game against BYU to open the season. It's just when it comes to those big marquee games that you have to win in order to, win this division, win your conference, win a national title, whatever you want to do, whatever your goal is, I don't have a lot of faith in Danny Etling being the quarterback that leads you there.
Me neither. But I've got faith that you're going to lead us to a successful 2017, and that's why I'm following you through hell and high water, Tom Fornelli. You are my man.
Oh, crap.
He is Tom Fornelli. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Tom Fornelli. Tom, thank you so much. I appreciate your time here as we begin to break down the SEC West here in spring.
My pleasure.